Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors and a longtime original member of our Brain Trust. She's our good friend. Joan, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks very much.
It's good to have you back, as always.
Thank you. Oh, I'm so pleased.
Guess what happened on this day in 1873, Joan?
Okay, I guess the easy answer would be you were born, but I won't go that way.
No. No, I'm not quite
August
that old.
August 26th, 1873. I have no idea.
Well, Dr. Lee DeForest was born.
That's nice
for
him.
He's the inventor of the Audion tube.
Oh, that's nice too.
Which is the device that makes the broadcasting of sound possible.
Ooh. So we owe everything to him.
Now you see the connection.
It took me a minute.
And so we either owe everything to him or we could say it's all his fault.
That too.
some people listening saying, that would be what they would say. It's all his fault.
A double-edged sword, yeah.
That's right. But anyway, I think it's important that we stop for a moment and recognize the efforts of Dr. Lee DeForest, the inventor of the Audion tube, which is how broadcasting of sound is possible.
Now, do you think he ever listened to your show, or was he no longer with us at that point?
Well, I think maybe he's gone to that great radio station in the sky.
Yeah.
that great laboratory in the sky by now. But I don't know when he died. I just know when he was born. Okay, yeah. Joan, let's talk about the letter, the Kiplinger letter, and here we are on the threshold of the Republican convention, and one of the big issues that is out there. I don't know how much it's going to be covered in the Republican convention, but one of the big issues that's out there these days when they're not talking about the SWIP votes is the healthcare issue, and that's what you guys wanted to write about this week, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. Nothing like giving some more good news here.
Yeah.
But
what is the news?
Well, the news is there's a new report coming out pretty soon that's going to show that, and no surprise here, that the ranks of the uninsured have increased over the last few years, and mm-hmm. I guess that's to be expected given that the unemployment rate has been not as good as in the past.
Right. Yeah, and also, Joan, I just think that if we back up a little bit and take a little bit more of a broader view of what's happening in the marketplace today as compared to, say, 25 or 30 or 40 years ago, you know, fewer and fewer people are adopted by major corporations. And more and more people are employed by either their own small business or another small business.
Right, and the major corporations that have had health care plans have been so rattled by health care cost increases that they've been trimming and trimming and trimming every chance they get.
And requiring their employees to be a little bit more self-insured every year.
Contributing more to their premiums.
That's right, and they're hiring more independent contractors, which doesn't qualify. So the thing is the days of finding a job with a major corporation, virtually everybody, and being adopted for your whole life, including after you retire, there are a lot of people out there, Joan, right now who are retired, who part of their deal with their company, their retirement deal, was they get health care for as long as they live.
That's right.
And, you know, when we think about, Joan, what that's going to be like, say, in 20 years or so from now, 30 years from now, when a lot of the people who are not working for major corporations now retire, you know, they're not going to have that kind of coverage. It's going to be on Medicare, isn't it? And Medicaid.
That's right. Sure, absolutely. Medicare isn't the whole picture. That's the other problem.
That's right. That's right. So what are we going to do about all this, Joan?
Well, we don't have...
It's a gloomy picture.
Yeah, I know, and we don't have any pat answers here, and nobody has come up with anything. You know, there have been a lot of incremental changes, and certainly you and I have talked about the idea that healthcare has to be looked at more like retirement savings,
mm-hmm.
where the consumer is it's more on the backs of the consumer than on the business.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is, and it's going to have to be the tax laws. See, the tax laws are still largely based on the 20th century model of the marketplace.
Right.
And you and I've talked about that many times before. Grace Marie Turner is going to be with us tomorrow. She is our healthcare expert, and we'll be talking to her some more about that too. But that's one of the things that we have. That, you know, there's an awful lot of money spent, Joan, as you know, every year, on incentives, tax incentives, to help people buy insurance for their employees. But the thing is that the marketplace is changing around that those
right.
tax laws, isn't it?
That's right.
So what are the politicians, the two lead politicians in the campaign this year, in the election campaign, the President Bush and Senator Kerry, what are their proposals, Joan?
Well, I guess one of the problems here is they're more, in each case, they're talking more about what's wrong with the other person's proposals.
Right.
And, of course, Bush's plan really has to do with private sector incentives.
Right.
And Kerry's idea would do more to bring the government into the picture.
It moves us closer.
And work on covering more of the uninsured with government help.
Bush's is more free market. Kerry's is not universal coverage, but it's moving in that direction, isn't it?
Right.
Now, and if I take what you guys said this week correctly, Bush's plan doesn't quite go far enough to take care of the folks who need it, and Mr. Kerry's plan does more, but it's basically fiscally not possible.
Right. So they both have a problem. I'm just not sure how you can solve the problem completely just with private sector help, because I think there has to be some kind of government component. On the other hand, you don't want to break the budget either.
Why can't there be a transition kind of thing? Why can't there be a combination of things to transition us from, you know, there's so many things going on in the marketplace, Joan, today that are transitional. I mean, you got people that are the churning of jobs. I read the
right.
other day was it in this letter that I read, Joan, that there were a million people were hired last month, but a million people were laid off as well.
Ooh.
And so it's a churning of jobs that's going on. And all of that churn is because of the way the marketplace is changing these days. We've got to change the tax laws to fit those. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editor. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And if you'd like to ask a question of me or my Brain Trust members, here's all you have to do. Ask Jim at jbsba.com. Joan Pride is our guest. Joan, we're talking about healthcare, folks. And Joan, one of the big healthcare issues these days is medicine. You know, my mother and my dad, when he was alive, even though they had retirement coverage and they had Medicare, they still had to pay a lot of money for some medicine.
Sure.
And my mom, you know, complained about it, and I understood that. But I said, well, Mom, that's the bad news. The good news is you can afford it. I mean, you know, it wasn't exactly easy for them, but I said, you do have the money to buy this. But the really good news is, somebody made this stuff that would make you well. And she said, yeah, you're right. And so, but the thing is that medicine is, the new stuff especially, is expensive. And so there's a big debate going on right now and some actual action going on with regard to whether Americans can buy medicine from Canada or from some other place besides America.
Right.
Outside of the FDA's purview. Right?
Well, yeah, and this is sort of an interesting issue because, as far as I know, it's still illegal to do that. Now, I think what's happened is the Department of Health and Human Services is looking the other way when states try to do this.
So that's, some states are doing this, aren't they?
Right, some states are doing this for their citizens, and I think some individuals are going across the border on their own and bringing back small amounts.
I know people going to Mexico who go down there to buy Retin A.
Right, but we've gotten the question here at the tax letter, can you deduct that as a medical expense on your tax return? And the answer has come back from the IRS, well, the IRS rules say you can't deduct illegal drugs, like, you know, marijuana. You can't deduct illegal drugs on your tax return, and these drugs are considered illegal because it's illegal to import them. Mm-hmm. So you can't deduct the cost of imported drugs.
Hmm.
But we've gotten a lot of hate mail saying that we were wrong, that you can legally import prescription drugs. So I think there's a lot of confusion out there about whether it's illegal or not. But
now,
there
Joan,
has been
I can't imagine anybody sending Kipling or hate mail.
Right.
You guys are so lovable.
Right, but there has been legislation in Congress to legalize it. So I would assume if they're trying to pass legislation to legalize it, that it must be illegal now.
Didn't Illinois recently pass a law or the governor make some kind of a administrative decree that Illinois residents could order drugs from Canada? I think it was Illinois. And then I read that makes a total of about five states who've done this.
Yeah, and see, I don't understand how that works with regard to federal law.
With regard to the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA,
right.
And so, but here's an issue that's not an issue that people care about if they need the drugs and they can't afford it and that's the only way they can get it is to order it from somewhere else, but it is an important long term consideration, and that is much of the development of new drugs these days apparently is happening in the United States, not so much in other parts of the world as here.
Right.
And so if we take away the ability for these companies to recover their R&D for these drugs, will they stop doing the research?
Well, I guess it's possible.
And I think, I'm not sure, I'm not an expert on this part, Joan, but I think we have a little bit of an example of that in Europe. I think a lot of this is what's going on in the United States has already happened in Europe, where they've sort of deregulated and have held down the prices of drugs in Europe by government fiat. And those companies are not as aggressive in developing new drugs as U.S. companies are.
Well. At the same time, I have trouble believing that the drug companies are exclusively white knights in this whole situation.
I don't disagree with you there.
Right.
But it is a sticky wicket, isn't it? I mean, it's a complicated situation. And I guess, Joan, I think the thing that you guys are trying to get across this week in your letter is that as you listen to the Democrats and as you prepare to listen to the Republicans in their convention, you know, these are things to pay attention to, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. No question about it. You know, how did they stand on these issues?
On the issue of providing health care, are you more likely to be to go along the lines of free market approach, or do you think the government should be more involved? Isn't that one of the considerations, isn't it?
Right, but people also need. I mean, people may give a knee-jerk response and say, "Well, I think the free market should take care of it." But I think we all need a little more education as to what that means and what's doable here.
Because you could have
a person saying, "I think the government should come in and regulate it all," but that may not be the best course of action.
Right, but Joan, I think there are plenty of knee-jerks on both sides.
That's the problem.
Yeah, exactly. There are plenty of knee-jerks on both sides. But exactly, and that's the whole thing that I think Kiplinger is trying to get across this week, and you guys do it well, Joan, is folks, let's all get more educated. But I'd also like to point out, we need to remember, this is the 21st century. Things are different. We've got to have some new approaches to this in a lot of different ways. 29 after, right back with Joan Pride after these messages. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Black cat, Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the second year in a row.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blassingame, our small business advocate.
I love it when that one comes on when Joan Pryde's here. Mr. Wonderful here. Right, Joan?
Jim?
Yes?
Jim.
Yes.
If I sat there and told you how wonderful you were, would you not believe me?
Of course I would.
Okay.
Of course I would, but it's just
okay,
nice to
you're
hear.
Giving the wrong impression in that intro. You really
it's just,
are.
It's just not nice to hear, Joan.
Okay.
Joan Pryde, ladies and gentlemen. Joan, give us your website, please. The Kiplinger
sure.
website.
www.kiplinger.com.
And that's where they can find out about your publications. But before you do that, folks, you can just might want to just go noodle around on it because it's a good one. And but they do have you do have some outstanding publications. That's what you guys are largely all about. And that's the Kiplinger Letter, which comes every week. That's the flagship. And next month, about 1 month from now, the founder's son, who's now the editor emeritus, I guess, is that the title he uses? Mr. Austin Kiplinger?
I know it's something like that. He's
editor
pretty much
emeritus,
chairman of the board and president.
Yeah, he's the king biscuit over there. But of course, Knight, the grandson and his son, runs the shop pretty much. But Mr. Kiplinger, Austin Kiplinger, is going to be on the show on the anniversary of Kiplinger. And that's when the first letter was launched. That's the weekly flagship letter publication. And then they've got three biweeklies, the tax letter, the agriculture letter, and the California letter. And then there's a magazine, right, Joan?
That's right. It's called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And Joan, and by the way, folks, you can subscribe online, and I guess you got a phone number, too, don't you? An 800
right. Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
30-day free trial. They still got that, which I worked hard to get that for you.
Oh, you
folks,
did.
So take advantage of that. Joan, I think that somewhere around right now, either a few days ago or sometime this week,
yeah,
is Mr. Kiplinger's 86th birthday.
Oh, yes. I think it's, well, I think it might be in September, actually.
I thought it was in, I think it's August.
You do?
I'm pretty sure it's
okay.
August. I may be wrong about that. But you ought to know. But I seem to remember, anyway, happy birthday to Mr. Austin Kiplinger. What a treasure he is, and you'll find that out again. So those of you who haven't heard him on the show before, next month, I'm looking forward to that. Joan, let's talk about the. By the way, Joan, tell him we said happy birthday.
I sure will.
The trade deficit, the 2004 trade deficit, is 5% of gross domestic product, and that's more than last year. Now
that's right. Well,
last
year was a record.
Yeah. So tell us what all this means.
Me?
Should we be worried about this?
Well, you know, we've had trade deficits for so long. Right now, I guess the idea is that it isn't as much of a problem because the dollar is lower against other currencies.
Mm-hmm.
And because we can buy goods more cheaply from abroad, then that kind of, I think, eases some of the pain here.
It creates a little bit more of a deficit, but it creates opportunity for American consumers, doesn't it?
Right.
Isn't it fair to say that by being able to buy these goods, and this is an area that you never hear anybody, people who don't like the idea of outsourcing, you never hear them balance their discussion by saying how much the standard of living of Americans has been helped by being able to buy goods and services less expensively, do they?
Well, exactly. That's the other side of outsourcing. And in that case, indirectly, you may be helping to create jobs in some way.
Right.
I'm not sure how you measure it, though. That's the problem.
Well, it has to be measured globally, Joan. It just can't be measured in your backyard. And I know that's hard to take if you're the one who lost their job, but it's just the way things are. I mean, it's just there's nobody to blame here. It's the way the marketplace is going, and it's a rude world. You know, the marketplace is agnostic about whether you and I are happy or successful. It's just there,
right.
and it morphs. It changes.
Well, and if you want a truly free marketplace, you have to take the bad along with the good.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And every day, unfortunately, in the marketplace is not a commune. You know, there are winners and losers. There are winners and losers every day in the marketplace, and you just have to keep playing. And you know, some days you'll be a winner, some days you're a loser. As John Denver's song went, you know, some days a diamond, some days a stone.
Well, that was an interesting analogy.
How about that?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Joan, there's some new options that you guys point out for small businesses to use to try to do more business on the internet. And when we come back, we're going to take a quick break. I want you to point out some of those are self-guided web-based programs that the Kiplinger folks have identified. We'll get her to point that out. And then we're going to talk about telecom. Voice over IP. Do you know about that? If you've been listening to the show, you do. Voice over Internet Protocol. What's that going to mean for the whole telecom industry and your telephone bill? Right after these messages, 20 till. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, I would think that in general, the Baby Bell, regional Bell of local telephone operations, I would think in general that those offices are not really happy places these days. I mean, in terms of what's the future going to look like?
Not at all.
Their world has been turned. Yeah. Maybe not, and it hasn't completely hit yet, but it's on the way, isn't it?
Well, no, and they can kind of, it's kind of like a tsunami you kind of see in the distance there, because they know that voice over internet protocol, as much as things have been changing over the last few years, that is going to completely revolutionize everything.
Well, they've already got some other things that have already hit them, like
exactly.
young people using cell phones, not
right.
even having a landline.
Yeah, you know, they really didn't see that one coming, I don't think.
Yeah. But you know, Joan, before we get to the voice over IP, a couple of the drawbacks of having a cell phone, not having a regular landline, is, for one thing, you don't have a phone number published, which you may not care about. But number two, if you've got a security system, you can't call the security company you can't have a security system without having a landline. Right?
Why is that?
Well, because the phone, when there's a fire or somebody breaks in, it makes a phone call to the security company, who then calls the police or the fire department. So that's one of the drawbacks to a cell phone. But that's just one little thing. But let's get back to the voice over IP, voice over
right.
internet protocol. Now, tell us how, Joan, all this works. How does our voice get transmitted over the internet?
Beats the heck out of me. No, I guess it's just translated into, you know, zeros and ones,
yep.
just to those digits, and goes over the lines. Now, you would have to have, I would guess you'd have to have DSL at your home.
High speed is better.
You couldn't have, I mean, Ray and I are dinosaurs. My husband and I still have dial-up internet at our house.
That's because Ray's too cheap.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you know, but seriously though, there is an issue with that, because I think if you have broadband and your internet, I guess you could keep shutting your internet off. But if your internet is pretty much on all the time, you have a lot more problems with spyware and things like that.
Oh yeah, no, always on. You got to have a firewall. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
But the way as you said it works is it breaks up the voice into zeros and ones and puts them in little packets. And see,
I bet you didn't think I knew that.
I'm impressed.
I just read that about a day or two ago.
I'm impressed. But the thing is that it's exactly how every other bit of information goes over the internet. The internet
right.
is broken up. It's like the transporter on Star Trek. You know, it demolecularizes everything and breaks it up into little packets, zips it over the internet, and then reassembles it on the other end, just like a transporter.
Correctly. Yeah.
Yeah. But. It's not exactly as real time as as a telephone, as a regular telephone thing is. There are some challenges with it. They're creating software that's improving this.
Oh, interesting.
But the thing is that basically, if you've already paid for the internet connection, which maybe, let's say you have cable. You know, I have DSL, which comes over the phone lines, but a lot of people have cable. They've already hardwired for cable, so they can have the phone call over the cable, and they've already paid for that. So all they got to do then is buy the software and maybe a little bit of hardware if they want to use like a handset or something.
They probably need a special phone, I would think.
Something like that, probably.
Yeah.
But or maybe just a headset. No, you can just plug a headset into your computer, see?
Okay.
So which is your special phone, so to speak. But the point is that you've already paid for that, so you don't need to spend $29 or $39 for a phone line.
Yeah, but here's a scary development coming down the pike. This is the thing that frightens me more than anything else, the video phone.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, that's going to be
the next
thing.
Why does that frighten you? Because then you can see me when we talk.
Well, I hadn't thought of it that way. That makes it even worse.
That's scary.
But I don't want to have to... you know, dress up to get on the phone.
Well, why not? I think that would be the least you could do.
But that's my point. I don't have to now.
Well, you can always turn it off, Joan.
The video part?
Yeah, just turn it off. That's all you got to do.
Oh, okay.
See, you feel better now?
Well, then why am I paying for a video phone?
I didn't know you were. I'm not. I don't have one. But the thing is, the whole thing is think about these legacy organizations like the Bells, who have all this infrastructure, and you know, and Joan, you know what else? There may be some national security issues here too. You know, to some degree, the telephone companies are a little bit like utilities.
True.
Of course, they're often regulated. They're regulated like utilities, but the thing is that these people have got some major. World changes coming for them.
That's right,
them.
Yeah.
But folks, look into this voice over IP. If you're on a budget, you're trying to save some money. I don't know. I'm sure I can see me heading in that direction one day. I haven't done it yet, but it's something to think about. Joan, we talked about the job churning earlier, and this is where I did see this in your letter. This 1 million workers were hired last month. But also about 1 million who lost their jobs last month.
And well, we actually say a couple million were hired last month.
I do see that. I missed that part. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
and
the net was 32,000.
It was 32,000.
New jobs. So the scary part is not that we only hired 32,000 net new jobs. The scary part was that there was that much churn.
All that coming and going.
Yeah, yeah. 20, no, actually 10 till. I'm going to be right back with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Don't go away. Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Joan Pride is our guest. And Joan, one of the things you guys wrote about this week is this thing called discount airlines. You know, I used the term legacy a minute ago, talking about the baby bells. If you're a legacy anything these days, you're in danger, aren't you?
Oh, boy, it sure looks that way. I mean, we think of legacies being airlines, but there's, you know, phone companies. And all other
utility companies
like that,
and
right?
anybody with significant 20th century assets and business models.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it.
That now are operating in the 21st century, and the legacy airlines like Delta and United and American and US Air and all those guys that have those 20th century structures and assets and baggage. I guess you could say they're having a hard time competing with the upstarts, aren't they?
Right, and you know, one of the problems is because the legacies of whatever industry held kind of a monopoly for so long, people kind of cheer on the upstarts when they come in and undercut the legacies.
Well,
maybe
we
need some upstart pharmaceutical companies. I don't know.
Maybe we do. It's just see, the thing is you know, you still got to carry people safely. And so, you know, one of the things I've worried about with all these new airlines is how safe will they be?
Right.
We always think about the people who work in the airlines, the legacy airlines, as being, you know, old pros and, you know, really know what they're doing and all that sort of thing. But so far, knock wood, you know, these new carriers have been pretty safe. But this brings us to another thing you guys pointed out this week, Joan. And that is the passage of a new FAA rule to allow people to get what's called a recreational, a sport license to fly.
Well, that sounds like fun.
To fly an airplane.
Yeah.
Instead of a full-fledged pilot's license like I have, these are sport licenses. And Joan, I'm going to go on record right now and say this is a mistake.
Now, why is that?
Because you're still leaving the ground in an apparatus. You're still flying into the weather. You're still flying into what today is of highly controlled airspace. So much of the airspace today is controlled. More and more now, especially since 9/11. But every year that's gone by, it's gotten more controlled. And you got people up in the air that can fall out of the sky and kill themselves, or they can fall on top of people. I think sport licenses, it's a good thing for certain elements of the marketplace, smaller airplanes and that sort of thing. I just think it's a mistake.
Well, it seems ironic that the FAA would consider allowing this now in the wake of 9/11, which I would think would give people a kind of a big door through which they can get into a plane and go up in the air more easily than they could prior to 9/11,
exactly.
Or prior to this rule.
That's an excellent point.
I'm not sure, unless there's some kind of strong regulation of who gets these licenses, I don't see what's to stop a terrorist from getting one of them.
That's exactly right. And once you get in the air, once you get airborne, you know, what are you going to do about people like that?
As we have seen.
Exactly. And Joan, this is just something that concerns me. You know, it's not going to happen a lot. It's not going to be a big deal. It's just that when you fly an airplane, you need to have your cornflakes together. And I don't think the sport license thing is going to be a good idea. Anyway, we'll see how that goes. Retail sales, Joan, is going to be up about 3% this year.
That's what we say, but that's not as good as what we were hoping, which was 5 or 6%.
Yeah. You know why it's going to be down, right? You know why that forecast is slow, right?
Because I haven't been shopping enough?
Gas prices.
Oh, okay.
It's affecting everything.
Well, sure.
It's a tax.
You've got to put more of your hard-earned money into that.
It's a tax. People are looking at their budgets, and they're seeing that they don't have enough to go around, and maybe they're not putting as much into the Christmas, you know, the Christmas fund, you know, this year or whatever.
Right. And, you know, you could even broaden that and say energy, because I think natural gas prices
right.
This winter are going to be a problem.
Right. Joan, you guys are going to be covering the convention this week, aren't you?
We sure will. We will have our person on the spot there.
Rich Salmon is going to be with us next week. In fact, I think it's going
great.
To be Wednesday, next Wednesday.
Terrific.
He's going to be reporting as he did from the Democrat convention.
Good.
So what do you think is going to happen? You think the president's going to get a bounce this year, out of this convention?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me if the president was going to be nominated this year. yeah, I think he will be nominated. And
will he get a bounce?
I'm sure. You always get a bounce.
Yeah. We'll see how much that is. You want to predict how much it is?
Huge.
Huge bounce. Okay. Mm-hmm. You heard it right here, folks, from Joan Pride. She's a big Bush supporter. Right, Joan?
That's me.
Thanks, Joan. See you next time.
Okay.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.